Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
As we approach the new year, are you ready for a new round of resolutions, most of which, if you're like me, you'll have broken or forgotten about by mid-January? Why is it that so many New Year's resolutions fail? Well, many of us believe, and we've talked about it on this program a number of times, that success in life depends upon self-awareness. Clear out those psychic roadblocks and you'd be cruising along the superhighway to success. And then there's the law of attraction. Your positive thoughts are powerful magnets that attract wealth, health, and happiness. Well, my next guest, Michael Shirokey, contends that success isn't simply an ephemeral projection of your subconscious mind, as he puts it. Success exists concretely in time and space. You just need a roadmap to find it. And Michael is here to explain how you can get what you want out of life by following certain cosmic rules of the road. And Michael Shirokey is an engineer, surveyor, technology consultant with a passion for physics. He's consulted with clients across the world, including the Los Alamos National Laboratory and Fermilab, worked on major projects, including the Trans-Alaska Pipeline and mines from Sweden to the South Pacific, and he later founded his own consulting firm and currently specializes in information security and cryptography, and he's author of the award-winning book, The Physics of Success, Getting the Car You Want from the Universe You Live In. And it's undoubtedly the first inspirational self-help book written by a physicist. And hello, Michael, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Hello, Roy.
Well, let me warn you in advance, physics was my worst subject in high school, but I'll try my hardest to carry on an intelligent conversation.
Well, you know, that's okay. What happens is physics is really not that difficult to understand. What they've done is they've just made big words, and people don't know the words.
Don't all professions seem to do that? Doctors,
yeah.
Especially.
Yeah.
Well, let's start from the beginning. In your book, you state that true success exists concretely in time and space. And how do you define success? Give us your definition of that.
Oh, that's a great question and a great way to start. I always like to define what we're talking about before we start talking about it.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people get the whole business of success wrong, and we see that so many times. But just to get right to the point, I define success, after thinking about it for a lot, by the way, as really your personal happiness. In other words, you know, there's kind of an unfortunate example that I can point to, but it's such a good example in the recent loss of Robin Williams. And you could look at this man by any measure. He was a successful television, movie actor, a fantastic comedian.
Yeah.
He touched people's lives, and millions of people loved him. And
yeah.
Yet, ultimately, and you know, he made scads of money to boot.
Yeah.
I mean, there, you know, people would, you know. But then, if you ask, well, would you trade places with him? You know, it would be like you'd be crazy to say yes.
Yeah, isn't that amazing that so many celebrities or people that have a whole bunch of money seem to have a miserable time in life?
Yes, and you know, we now know after the fact that he had difficulties that contributed to his unhappiness. But nonetheless, if he was a happy human being inside, then there would have been an entirely different outcome. So really, that's ultimately it. Now, and I like to rush in and say it's, you know, not to be satisfied, not to be complacent or comfortable.
No.
You
yeah.
don't have to be comfortable in order to be happy.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
in fact,
so,
if you get too complacent, you're probably not going to accomplish all that you really want
precisely.
To accomplish.
I like to think that you can be happy and ambitious, right?
Yeah,
and,
that's
and
for
that's
sure.
That's perfectly okay. So that, to me, is what success is. But then when he cut right to the chase, I mean, you say, would you be happier with more money or less money? Yeah. Everybody will say, I'll be happy with more.
Yeah, I bet there's a lot more happy and rich people, or rich and successful, more than poor and successful, using that term happiness as success.
Exactly, but it's not. But too many people think of that as the answer.
Yeah, it's a means, not an end.
Correct. Very well put. That's exactly correct.
Well, moving on, what exactly do you mean by success principles, and can you give an example of what a success principle is?
Absolutely. And that's kind of the fuzziest part.
In
the physics of success, it's very concrete, but of course it's not the total answer. So for instance, if you want to be a cook, right, a successful cook, you need to know how to dice onions and bread chicken and whatever the heck cooks do, right? And those are all part, but they in and of themselves are not success principles. If you learn how to do all those pieces, it's not going to make you a great cook.
Yeah.
So the physics of success deals with what I refer to as core principles. In other words, these are the things that you need to do, whether you're a chef or a lawyer or a doctor, it doesn't matter. And that tells you, number one, that it has nothing to do with cooking or law or medicine or whatever it is that you do.
Yeah.
But it works for everybody, so it's a core principle. Those principles are, I like to refer to it in the physics of success as thinking in terms of a pen, picture, and a calendar.
Oh.
And the picture is the visualization of what your goal is, what you want. And you were talking about New Year's resolutions. It's not just good enough to say, whatever it is, I want to quit. That was one of mine, by the way. I wanted to quit smoking. This was decades ago, thank God. But
been there and done that.
Yeah, and it was one of those things where if you were like me and millions of other people, you tried and failed.
Yeah.
And then eventually succeeded. But you don't just think, okay, I'm going to quit smoking. You have to think through. You have to have the picture of what your life is like as a non-smoker. You're not going to be tied to this ball and chain or whatever it is that you're going to do. You're going to lose weight. You're going to get healthy. You're going to be a better spouse, et cetera, all those things.
That's exactly right. If you don't imagine and visualize the positive consequences, you're really not going to be very inspired to do it.
Yep. Success principles are what you use as an individual. Each of us uses this. It shapes the image of our future. It's what we carry around in our mind. And in the terms of physics, and we'll get into this a little later, is how you choose your course. It doesn't matter whether it's a positive or a negative image. It's the roadmap you use for your journey through life. And if you don't bother to create this roadmap, so to speak, you're basically following the path of least resistance, which is unlikely to lead you to where you want to go.
That's a very good point. But, yeah, we all need roadmaps to get from here to there.
Oh, absolutely.
First of all, we have to define just what there is, like you say, by visualizing what you really want to achieve, and then you need to put pen to paper and develop that roadmap to get you there rather than just wanting to be there.
Yes, and what you said there, pen to paper, if you recall, pen, picture, and a calendar, that writing down, I think so many people ask, what's the one thing that somebody can do? And let's just say it's a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
The one thing that a person can do and that will increase their chances immeasurably is to write it down. And so many people fail to do that.
Yes.
They say, yes, I'm going to quit smoking. Well, you know, pick up a pen and a piece of paper and write it down.
Yeah.
And there's a good, solid scientific reason for that, but it doesn't have a lot to do with physics. It has more to do with physiology.
Oh,
it's how your brain works.
Yeah.
And so we have this fantastic imagination, human beings do. But what we don't realizes that part of us that imagines things, we can imagine a life without or with something or without something, however it is,
yeah.
It's not connected to our memory.
No.
I mean, literally in our brain, it's just not connected. That's why when you have a dream, you wake up, you forget it.
Yeah, that's true. I've had some very interesting dreams recently I've forgotten about. But.
Yeah, and the way you remember dreams is keep pad and pencil by your bedside and write it down, and then the next morning you remember your dream. And the reason why is because that whole business of writing something down and then reading it, we're really good at remembering things that we see and touch and hear and smell. And so writing your resolution or writing your goal or your success parameters, whatever it is that you want, write it down. That's the number one thing. That's the pen part of pen, picture, and calendar.
Well, what in essence is the physics of success, and how can you and I master it to help ensure we achieve positive results in our lives?
Sure. The physics of success, and as you mentioned, I am an engineer by training, and so we tend to think in terms of how does stuff work.
Yeah.
And I learned about success principles fairly early in life, and I sort of forgot them. It was, you know, I have an article on my website, thephysicsofsuccess.com, where I talk about, I say Santa Claus, you know. It's like believing in Santa Claus.
Yeah.
And, you know, and it's sort of the thing you don't talk about with people.
Especially
you know,
kids.
You grow up and you sort of forget about it. And I kind of did that with success principles, but I knew that they worked. I had a bad stretch, and I you know, basically woke up one day and realized that I could fix it.
Yeah.
And so I applied these principles. I sat down. I wrote out what was wrong with my life and then what I needed to fix it.
Yeah.
And basically, that whole story is on the website too. It's called Predicting the Future.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, and so I wrote all this stuff down, and by the end, you know, after a very short period of time looking back on it, at the time it seemed like it took forever, but all those things that I had written down came true. And it was really stressful for me because I didn't understand how it worked, because all of the explanations that I heard didn't make sense. And so I was actually studying physics. I take classes and things. I continue to do that.
Nice.
And which just reminds me, I have an assignment to do. So, but anyway, I sort of forgot about it over the holiday. But so I'm pondering physics and some of the things I'm learning about string theory in particular. And, so, you know, you make that little connection in your head. I was like, gee, I wonder if that could explain some of this stuff. And then later on, I explained it, you know, I realized, I made a couple of connections, and I realized that physics actually provides a really clear explanation of how this conscious visualization of a future can actually translate into the physical universe.
Oh, every turn.
Yep.
Well, can't we just apply the success principles? Why do we need to know how this stuff works?
Well, you can, and that's how it's worked for so many people. But the problem that I see and the problem for me is if you don't know what you're doing, you sort of forget what to do.
Yeah, that's
you
very
know?
True. If you don't know what you're doing, you forget to do it.
Yeah, so if you were able to consciously apply these success principles and visualize a goal, set a date for its accomplishment.
Yeah, that's so
clearly
key.
Think it through. Write it down. Keep it in the forefront of your mind. It would all work for you, and that's how.
Yeah, you set the goal in concrete detail, and then you set a date. But then you also have to have an action plan of how you're going to get from here to there. It's not
right.
going to, you know, you're not going to wake up in 3 months 30 pounds lighter just because you dreamed about doing it.
Yeah, so what the physics of success does is it basically says, okay, when you've done this, you've, again, shaped the image, and it talks about there's so many things in physics with regards to time and dimensions and motion and stuff like that, and I talk about it in very clear terms, like I said, normal terms instead of physics terms. I've had several people say, gee, I wish you were my science teacher because I understand what you wrote there.
Yeah.
And I've had physicists review the material, by the way. It's not just me making stuff up. It's real physics.
Yeah.
But the idea is when you realize You know, I tell people, the universe doesn't care whether you fail or succeed any more than your car cares whether or not you're on time.
Yeah, that's very true.
Okay. There's no such thing as success or failure in terms of science. There's actions and results.
Yeah.
So the idea is, if you understand that when I carry this picture in my mind, if you understand how that actually helps guide you literally to a physical place in the universe, you're talking about the law of attraction. People think in terms of, well, I do these things and good things come to me.
Yeah.
And that's sort of true, except for the physics of success is I do these things and I will take myself to them.
Yeah, that's okay? You know, you make such a good point in your book that's really the Achilles heel of the law of attraction. If, like you point out, if you were a coach of a team and you said, think positive thoughts and we're going to beat Podunk U this next weekend, it turned, in truth, they're a much better team than your team has been. And if you don't practice and have a game plan and work on just how you're going to beat the this Podunk U, you're probably not going to beat them. And also another Achilles heel on the law of attraction is if you keep thinking these positive thoughts and nothing good happens, you're not going to continue with these positive thoughts for too long.
Yes, exactly. And I like to think of it because sometimes people put things into motion and then something bad, or what they think something bad happens in their life.
That's a good
and really,
point,
it's like if you set your GPS to go to some place, right?
Yeah.
And driving a car is a great analogy for all
of
this. Well, it may take you through a bad part of town.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But you know, what we tend to do in life is we look at the bad part of town and we forget our destination and we try to turn around and go back.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, and sometimes you just have to go through a crummy part of town in order to get to where you're going.
Yeah.
So the physics of success can help with that in terms of your own self-confidence. But the idea is that you understand that really there's not a lot, it's not so much the things outside that are, I mean, yes, things outside affect how you feel, but they don't affect your success or your failure.
Yeah.
And once you understand that, okay, I actually control, you know, each and every one of us controls our own destiny to a great degree, then you realize, okay, everything that I'm doing makes a difference. And that's the difference between understanding how something works and then what to do. If you understand how it works, you're instinctively going to do the right thing, but to me it's more important that you instinctively stop doing the bad things.
Yeah, that's very true. You know, in your book, you addressed one of the favorite subjects of mine is, and that's when you point out that it's absolutely essential to take responsibility for where you are today and for getting to where you want to be instead of blaming someone else or circumstances, because without accountability, you just have a built-in excuse for remaining to be miserable forever, really, and it makes absolutely no sense.
And it's even more damaging than that. As soon as you start to blame somebody else or something else or some outside circumstances, you're giving up.
No, that's very true.
You know, you just said, oh, well, you know, there was nothing I could do to fix it. And in a sense, what you're doing internally in your own head is you're saying, well, whether I succeed or fail is entirely up to the outside world.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's
somebody
not true.
Else. And who other than yourself is more concerned about your personal welfare than you?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, you read about people who win lotteries and win millions and millions and millions of dollars, and it totally destroys their life.
Yeah, that's very true.
You know, again, it's not the money. And, you know, winning the lottery or whatever it is not going to make you happy. It's not going to make you successful.
It certainly isn't. You have to be mentally prepared to be rich, really, rather than just have it thrust upon you.
Exactly. Although, you know, I wouldn't mind having some of it thrust upon
me. No, of course, you and I would never have that problem.
Exactly. It always happens to somebody else, right?
Yeah. In my book, I even have a chapter on imagining what you'd do if you suddenly won the lottery, and it talks about all the various implications and all the thought process you should go through rather than just, you know, going out and having a great time thinking everything was set, because it certainly isn't. But why isn't, give us an example of how we might already be using success principles unknowingly in our lives today, and how do the results show up in the real world?
Yeah, and that there's millions of examples. My favorite is these days, and probably in your generation, my generation, or I should say our generation, because I raised my kids this way. My parents raised me this way. And basically we're telling our kids, you know, go out, get a good education. You know, and these days it's like, oh, I mean, I've actually heard people saying getting a college education is a right. I just slap my head and say, where did that become a right, you know? But so there, it's like everybody should have an opportunity for a college education.
Yeah.
And it's like, I think that's a wonderful idea, but the fact of the matter is everybody does have an opportunity for a college education.
Yeah. And also some people that don't have college education sometimes are the most successful.
But the goal is you get the college education and go out and get a job with good benefits.
Yeah.
And then you have all these people running around angry at the 1%.
Yeah, the old 1%.
And those are the people who own all these big corporations that are providing all these millions and millions of jobs. But the thing is, we have two or three generations of people that have been taught to go out and work for those 1%.
Yeah.
And then I turn it around and say, well, look at Donald Trump's family. And I just picked Donald Trump because everybody knows who he is. But look at his kids. Do you think he taught them what you need to do is go out and get a good job with benefits? You know, he probably doesn't even let anybody tell his kids that. And I've spoken with some people who know Donald Trump, you know, like Mary Lou Henner, and she knows and loves these people. And she said, those kids have worked from the ground up. But but the thing is, the goal, what Donald Trump told his children is, here's how to run an empire. Here's how you run your own businesses.
Yeah.
And that's what they've done.
Yeah.
So that's an example of how we set a goal. We've been bred, you know, we need to go up and get a good job with benefits.
Yeah.
When in fact, you know, if my kids have been very successful. I mean, I've been not as successful as I would like because I've made so many mistakes. But my kids, all four of them, have gone out. They're working well. They've gone and got college educations and things. So my children have been successful in achieving what they've been told to do, and then but the problem is getting a job is not a goal.
Because no, it's
after
not.
You get the job, what's the next goal? It's to get a better job.
Yeah, that's right. Getting a better job is not quite the visualization you need to define what that job should be.
And so part of, you know, the challenge as parents and the challenge as educators is to change people's thinking so that, you know, visualize what it is you want.
Yeah.
And then, you know, how would you like your life to be, and get that visualization in place. And maybe getting a job is one step on the way to getting there.
Exactly.
Yeah. Or maybe your goal is to be an airline pilot. And that is a job, so to speak. So there's nothing wrong inherently with having a job, but the idea is what you really need to do is determine what you want and then put that as your goal. And then, you know, to use the analogy, is drive to your destination.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, one additional thing I wanted to talk about, because it was such an inspiration, I would think, to a lot of people. In your book, you talk about a few years ago when you were what you call a wreck. You were laid off many times, over a year with no income. You were overweight and had bad knees, and then you had a near-fatal cardiac arrest.
Yep.
But one day you said to yourself, Mike, you don't need to do this. You know how to fix this, and it worked like a charm. And it would be great if you could tell other people that are in frustrating circumstances how you were able to accomplish that, and what clicked on in your brain that suddenly got you moving forward in the right direction and changed everything.
Yeah, and the actual inspiration was a movie, and I almost hesitate to say that, and I'm not going to mention the movie. It's actually mentioned in the book.
Yeah.
But you know, I went and realized it's like, I know how to fix this. I know what the success principles are, and that's where I said I went home. And, you know, I had two kids. I was a single parent. I was, like you said, a wreck. My life was miserable. I mean, I was contemplating moving back in with my parents, okay, who were in their 70s at the time, because I just had no way to sustain anything.
Yeah.
But, anyway, you know, obviously I did. But I took some notebook paper out of my son's, you know, notebook, sat down at the table, and like I said, I just wrote everything out, and then I wrote down, and it's really the step-by-step in the, you know, I call it casting spells in the
yeah.
physics of success. It's really kind of ironic because I talk about magic and casting
yeah.
spells and things just because it, you know, a little bit of humor, actually.
Yeah.
But I wrote this stuff down and really lined out what I needed to do, and it was so, I didn't even have a car.
Yeah.
It's like, how could I have a job?
Wow.
I live in the suburbs. I mean, you
yeah.
know, unless I'm mowing my neighbor's yard, you know, I need a car,
yeah.
right? And even then, I'd need a lawnmower, right?
Yeah.
So didn't even have a car. So that was one of the first things I needed to get. No kidding, I ran into a guy that gave me a car. I kid you not.
Oh, wow.
Within just a couple of weeks. Things like that happen. And by the way, since then, I've given away two cars.
Oh.
Two, you know.
Yeah.
To people who were in the same position I
yeah,
was. But, you know, so you can turn around. And now I drive the car I always wanted my entire life. You know,
yeah,
I drive,
well, that's great.
I drive a Shelby Mustang. So.
Well, let's talk a little about your book, winning book, The Physics of Success, Getting the Car You Want from the Universe You Live In. It's really about more than simply getting a new car, isn't it?
Yep. Oh, absolutely. It's you know, I lost 45 pounds of weight. My health is,
yeah.
I've never been healthier. I'm happily married. You know, I'd say the woman of my dreams, except she's so much better than that. You know, I couldn't dream that well.
Yeah. Well, how is your book different from the hundreds of other success and self-help books out there?
It's really going to distill the core principles that you need to do in order to get started. In other words, you want to be a successful chef, you need to do this. Then you need to go out and learn how to chop onions, okay?
Yeah.
But that's the part. And the other part of it is it's going to show you how to create your roadmap.
Amen.
That's the part that you need, okay? Knowing how to drive a car is not enough to get from where you are to where you want to go.
Yeah, I don't think any book is really worthwhile unless it does show you how to actually prepare that roadmap and
absolutely
do the positive steps necessary to get the results you want. And what's where should we go to preview or purchase your book? Is there a website we could go to on that? Or
absolutely, www.thephysicsofsuccess.com. That's thephysics of success.com, and you'll be able to see. You know, you were asking about that story.
Yeah.
It's actually on the website. If you go to Notes and Observations, you'll see a section on predicting the future.
Yeah.
There's a books page you can go select. I've got a couple books out there.
Yeah.
There's just interesting things. There's a lot of really additional information out there. You can also purchase the book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's you know, in various outlets like that.
And that's The Physics of Success is his website.
Right.
Yeah, in conclusion, instead of the same tired old New Year's resolutions this year, how about something different? What if you could determine in advance with relative certainty that an action or behavior modification you plan to make will lead to a specific positive end result, precisely the one you desire? And what if you could also determine in advance what behaviors to avoid in order to prevent certain negative consequences? It sure would make New Year's resolutions a lot more meaningful and worthwhile, wouldn't it? And to begin this new year, I highly recommend you preview Michael Shirokey's book, The Physics of Success. Like me, I'm certain you'll be amazed to discover that there is a science of success, and success in life isn't just about positive emotions. You'll learn the scientific principles of success that can assist your journey from where you are today to where you want to be. And thank you, Michael, and best success to you and all our listeners in the coming year.
Likewise. Thank you very much, Roy. I enjoyed it.
Are you over 40 and less than fully satisfied with present circumstances? If so, I recommend that you launch 2015 with an exercise radically different from our normal ritual of making New Year's resolutions. Instead of looking forward, why not pause for a few moments to reflect upon those significant life-altering decisions you've made over the past 20 to 30 years of your adult living experience? And believe it or not, looking backward may help you in making resolutions and going forward. You might begin with your first permanent job as a young adult. Very early in your adult life experience, did you lock yourself into a career path which you continue to pursue today? In hindsight, was this a good choice? Reflect upon other life-altering adult decisions, selecting your spouse or life companion, creating a family, changing jobs, returning to school, relocating to your present residence, or beginning or ending an intimate relationship. In each case, ask yourself, given what I know now, did I make the right choice back then? How would I approach this decision? Would I approach it any differently today? In evaluating your past, please keep in mind, as you all know, there are no absolute right or wrong choices. That spouse that may have been perfect for you back then, you may have outgrown each other, and he or she may not be perfect now. Even though that long ago decision now seems less than optimal, your choice may have been appropriate at the time, given your then current experience, expectations, personal goals, and maybe you were just swept off your feet if it's a relationship. For each wrong decision from your past, think about what you would consider a better decision today. Think about the reasons in hindsight why you would make a different choice now. And for each right decision, what benefits have you gained in intervening years? Certainly, I've gained a number of wonderful benefits from marrying my wife some 40 years ago. But if you're divorced, you probably have a different outlook on that. Some may inquire, what benefit will I gain from examining decisions from the long-lost past, good or bad, which I can't alter today? Well, you have one specific purpose only, and that's to enhance your ability to make similar major decisions now and in the future. Today or tomorrow, you may face a significant fork in the road concerning your vocational, personal relationships, relocation, family finances, you name it, you may face it. And before attacking tomorrow's challenges, you will benefit from evaluating how well you handled similar big challenges in the past. And here's an irony. You can actually draw comfort and inspiration from either of two seemingly contradictory conclusions. Conclusion one might be, if I could live my life over, I would change few, if any, of my major prior decisions. For this reason, I have utmost confidence in my ability to make the right choices going forward. And conclusion number two might be, in hindsight, several of my most important life-altering choices appear less than optimal today, but looking back, I now understand the unique circumstances and my motivation at the time. I've learned from past mistakes, and I'm a totally different, highly confident decision-maker today. Looking forward, I consider myself fully capable of weighing options and making the right choices. Here's a trick question for you. I love to ask myself this. If in the past you had selected every decision you now consider right, would you be precisely where you wish to be today? Would you be in a totally different vocation, maybe married to a different person, whatever? I made a number of clearly wrong career choices during my 30-year business career. But I set my vocational targets more closely aligned with my temperament, abilities, and aspirations. I might at this moment be a senior executive of a Fortune 500 company. Then again, I might not. Who knows? The irony is that I probably would not have written the two books that I wrote, nor would I now be doing the activities which I relish so much today, and that is coaching and talking to people about middle age renewal and renewing the second half for a joyful and wonderful latter years of your life. When examining the past, it makes absolutely no sense to regret wrong turns or to agonize over what might have been. Please don't do that. Ironically, past mistakes may have set you up in an ideal position to prosper now and in the future. And the most important, you have to take responsibility for that future and tell yourself that you're set up for a wonderful future, because if you believe you are, you will be. Bottom line, the only decisions which matter now are those that you will make today and tomorrow. And once you've dissected your past decision-making, apply a similar objective approach to any challenges you're facing now or expect to face in the near future. Maybe a job change, maybe retirement, maybe your health, or any number of tough choices you may have to make. Past, present, or future, the basic issue remains the same. As a mature, talented, self-confident adult, how do I optimize response to this challenge? And when your next challenge arises, confidently step up to the plate and confront that challenge head on. Do the research you need, talk to family, talk to experts, but then make that decision. And here's an interesting exercise for you this New Year's Eve or New Year's Day, heck, any day early in the new year. How about a brief final visualization? Lean back in your couch or recliner and imagine yourself 25 years in the future. Nobody likes to be an old man or an old lady, but this is a fun exercise. Lean back on that couch and recliner, and let's pretend that you recently retired but remain active in your community. You're in excellent health, young in spirit, in love with life and with other people and relating to other people. Now close your eyes, take a deep breath, and pretend to reminisce fondly over your most recent 25 years. In fact, those are the years you will begin living today. And let your imagination run free. Paint vivid mind pictures of the multifaceted accomplishments that you anticipate for your future. Relish the psychic reward you will earn from first defining, then achieving those essential lifetime goals that you're going to accomplish over the next 25 years. Now pat yourself on the back and offer congratulations. Well done, Grandma or Grandpa. For the past quarter century, you truly have lived life to the fullest. In your heart, you know you wouldn't trade the past 25 years with anyone else in the entire world. It's a fun exercise. I've done it. And the more you visualize, the more specific you are in terms of what your objectives are for the next few years, the more fulfilling that exercise will be, and you'll start feeling like that person that you want to be. And as you prepare to launch a new era of personal joy and fulfillment, a full second half of life precisely on your own terms, make yourself one final solemn vow, and this is so important. Pledge to yourself that on your final day on earth, you'll not bitterly shake your head, sigh deeply in bed, and utter the following three mournful phrases of regret. What if? What if I had only followed my dreams? What if? Whatever. The second one would be, if only. If only I had completed school. If only I had tried that new opportunity that came forward. If only. That's the second thing you don't want to say. And the third mournful phrase to state on the last day of life is, I could have been. What a sad thing to look back and say, I could have been this. Because you're not going to be anything at that point. The only thing that matters is going forward. You know, you'll never know for certain just how much you can accomplish or how wonderful your life can become unless you challenge yourself throughout 2015 and every year thereafter to strive for goals outside your prior comfort zone. Each one of us is granted only one lifetime, so don't surrender yours. You'll continue to sell yourself short if you permit others to define your limitations, and we let people do that starting in childhood, don't we? Or refuse to imagine life's infinite possibilities. God, you've got a lot of talent. Just look inside and draw it out. This very day, let go of your inhibitions. Visualize unrestrained joy and satisfaction on your own terms. Unleash your imagination and begin your search for the vibrant, life-altering experience of your dreams. And when all is said and done, you have absolutely nothing to lose but self-doubt and negative thinking. And you really don't want to continue those, do you? And in passing, as we close our program today, I want to remind you about my book, A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy C. Richards. You can learn about looking forward and backward at the same time, plus a whole host of other exercises for renewing your life at midstream. And it's a very motivational book, both for yourself or for your loved ones. And just remember that at middle age, your best years are not behind you, and don't let anyone tell you that they are. And Happy New Year to everyone. And if you're going to go out on New Year's Eve, I suggest you or urge you to use a designated driver, because you don't want to start 2015 with a DUI. And we'll see you all again next week on Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.